الرحمن الرحيم. All praise is to the one to whom all dignity, honor and glory due, the unique with perfect attributes. He begets not, nor was he begotten. He has no equal, but he is the almighty. All affairs are managed according to his wisdom, and there is no support with him. I testify that there is nothing worthy of worship except Allah, to whom belongs all the praise, and he has power over all things. I testify that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his servant and messenger, who was sent as a warner and as a lamp giving the light of guidance and as a caller to Allah. May the blessings of Allah be upon him, his family and his companions and those who follow them sincerely until the resurrection day. Ameen. Today inshallah we will have the class number 8 in the topic of depression, Islamic prevention and treatment. All praise to Allah. We learned over the last 7 classes about depression, causes, symptoms, and Islamic prevention and treatment. Today, inshallah, we will review the basic Islamic rules of prevention and treatment of depression, and then we will continue to learn about a new line of prevention of depression, inshallah. First, let us revise together the Islamic rules of prevention of depression. Number 1, the sincere belief in the oneness of Allah. Number 2, the true belief in Allah's decree. Number 3, patience. Number 4, understanding the reality of the worldly life and making the hereafter the main concern. Next, remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And inshallah, we will continue more today, inshallah. Let us revise, in summary, the rules of each of the above line of prevention so that these rules will be always close to our hearts and minds. The first line of prevention of depression and anxiety in Islam is the true belief in the oneness of Allah. This true belief in the oneness of Allah is the most important for the spirit, as it provides it with the feeling of being a servant of the Lord of the heavens and the earth. This feeling is the real belonging to Allah, the Lord of the heavens and the earth. This belonging is the link. This belonging to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the link which provides the spirit with the hope, support, power, identity, dignity, balance, peace and confidence. Actually, sisters, every Muslim has to be actually clear regarding the belief in the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because actually the belief in the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make you to realize that Allah is the creator, the owner, the all-knower, the planner, the decider, and the controller of all your affairs. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the only power and only will. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the source of all the mercy on the earth. When these facts are clear in your spirit, you will be having actually the feeling of belonging to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the most important to your spirit, because you want to belong to the one who is controlling everything in your affairs. You want to always to feel that I am in a good relation with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the one who is planning and deciding for me everything. So long I am in a good relation with him, I am belonging to him, my link with him is a correct one. This will give you the feeling of reassurance that inshallah the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will shower you, and inshallah you will be always having an outlet from every disaster, and inshallah your life will be a good one. This is the importance of the true belief in the oneness of Allah, because it will give you the reassurance which your spirit is in need of every second, that you are not alone, the Lord is with you. The power, the only power, is supporting you. The only mercy is taking care of you. So be balanced, be accepting your life, and try to be away from sadness or upset, because you are not alone. The most powerful is taking care of you. Okay, this is the message which is behind the true belief in the oneness of Allah as a way to protect the spirit from anxiety. The second line of prevention in Islam from anxiety and depression is the belief in Allah's decree. The belief in Allah's decree is based on the following Quranic rules. Number one, all hardships and afflictions are recorded before their creation. When the believer will believe that whatever I am exposed to in this life was recorded before their creation, the believer will realize that he can't interfere with Allah's decree, that he cannot change anything of Allah's decree. Immediately he will submit to Allah's decree. This will give him the feeling of being content with Allah's decree, because the second rule is none can interfere with Allah's decree. The first rule is in Surah number 57, verse number 22 and 23. The second rule, none can interfere with Allah's decree, is in Surah number 71, verse number 4. The third rule, life is run by the word be of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Life is run by the word be of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this makes the believer always sure that when he will be content with Allah's decree, inshallah the word be of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be able to make all his hopes right. If he is a believer in the oneness of Allah, alhamdulillah, worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the proper way, having the correct link with Allah, he can call on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with the word be, inshallah, can make for him any dream or any hope a reality, inshallah. And also with the word be, Allah can remove any disaster from the life in for every human being. The next Quranic rule regarding to the belief in Allah's decree is that actual life is run by the word be is in Surah number 36, verse number 82. The next Quranic rule in the belief in Allah's decree is that Allah burdens not a person beyond his scope. This is in Surah number 2, verse number 286. This rule is very important for every spirit. A message from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whatever you are living in is not exceeding your limitations. You can tolerate it and you can live it, and it is not beyond your scope. When I realize that the disasters in my life are not beyond my scope, I will try to accommodate, and I will try to tolerate, and I will try to be in a good shape. I will not be frustrated, and I will not be so angry with the decree of Allah that it is beyond my scope. No. When I realize and believe that all what I am living in is not beyond my scope, inshallah, this will send a message of tranquility and peace to my spirit and will make anxiety away from it. The next Quranic rule is that it may be that you hate a thing and it is good for you. Surah number 2, verse number 216. This is also a very important rule. This is, sister, the clarification that the Quran is the source of mercy and healing for the spirits. Because when you will realize the rules of the Quran, alhamdulillah, in every topic related to our life, you will feel the feeling of healing of your spirit. When you will realize that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is sending for you a message of mercy, if you don't like that event in your life, hold on. Maybe it is good for you. Don't be so upset. Don't be so angry. Don't be frustrated. Don't try to change it by any means or to escape it. Because maybe it is good for you. When the spirit will realize this reality, the spirit will be calm with the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It will always try to use this message to pass the time during the disaster. The spirit out of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will try all the time to reassure its, itself. Maybe it is good for me. Maybe it will, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows, you know, that it will be, it will turn to my side. Maybe, inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is preparing, you know, out of this something which I hate, something which is very good for me. This may be from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala regarding the things which we hate in our life, actually is the rare cure and healing for the spirits during the time of disaster until, inshallah, the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reach your spirit and inshallah the disaster will finish. The second Quranic rule related to the belief in Allah's decree which can prevent anxiety, sadness and depression is that verily with every hardship there is ease. Surah number 94, verse 5 and 6. Again and again, sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the most merciful. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows the limitations of the human being. Accordingly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not leave us in the test of the worldly life suffering hardships only. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, out of His mercy, is sending this message to every believer. Okay? That there is ease with the hardship. Try to look for the ease. Try to live the ease. Try to give reassurance to your spirit. The event is not only hardship. Ease is there. When you receive this message with sincerity during the hardship, you will feel a lot of tranquility. And your spirit will start to look for the ease. And it will try to find the ease in anything. Okay, suppose I was having limping in my right leg because I was having osteoarthritis and I have tear in my one of the ligaments of my right knee. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows that it was hardship for me because I was having extreme severe pain and I can't do so good in prayer and I can't walk, I can't cook, I have severe pain during preparing my classes and subhanallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make me with this rule, verily with every hardship there is that out of my hardship with my pain in my knee is that I realize the importance of the health, good health. I realize that I am not supposed to be upset with the pain in my right knee, but I am supposed to be thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for still having my left leg and my left knee normal. So this is the ease. I was all the time giving to myself this message. Mona, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the all powerful, He can He could make both of your legs having this problem. And at that time, you will not be able to walk. You will be on a wheelchair. You will not come to the masjid. You cannot give classes. You cannot drive your daughter to the school. But Allah, the most merciful, He made you to have only one leg which is having this illness and the other one is normal. So with hardship, the hardship of my right one, there is the ease of my left leg. Alhamdulillah, all praise to Allah. Out of this, you can forget about the feelings of sadness, upset. Oh Allah, I need my right knee. I am using my knee for prayer and, you know, for my daily activity. I am not doing anything bad. This is how we lose our relation with Allah and how we have anxiety and pain and sadness during the hardship because we concentrate only on the hardship. This is wrong. According to the belief in Allah's decree that there, with every hardship there is ease, I am supposed, out of my belief in Allah and out of my belief in the mercy of Allah, to live the ease during the time of hardship. So that, number one, I will be rewarded because I am following one of the rules of the Quran, believing in one of the rules of the Quran. Number two, I am patient with the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and this equal to unlimited reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when you are patient. Number three, I am thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala even at the time of hardship. I was all the time, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows that I was all the time saying Alhamdulillah, all praise to Allah that my left leg is still normal, my left knee is still normal. Before this hardship, I never appreciate that I am walking on two normal legs. I was just living my life normally. But I appreciate the blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when I have the hardship. Okay? And out of this, I start to realize, you know, the blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you realize the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this will give to your spirit a very strong feeling of ease that Alhamdulillah, all praise to Allah. It is still the mercy of Allah saving me from being completely bedridden. Alhamdulillah, all praise to Allah. So sisters, with every hardship, there is ease. And actually there was ease. My daughter, whom she never helped me at home, she started to help. You know, she started to use the dishwasher. She started, yes, to use the dryer. You know, she started to clean with me all the time. Before, she never accepted. There is ease. Because Alhamdulillah, when my leg will be normal, I will ask her to continue helping at home. So I have, you know, the mercy of Allah from the hardship that my daughter started to feel her responsibilities. This is a great ease from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When I sit, because I can't do anything, but I am looking that Alhamdulillah, my daughter is getting my feeling, and she starts to feel responsible and to help me at home. This gives me a lot of ease. So be sure of the rules of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala so that you can get the benefit of the exposure to hardships. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not exposing us to hardships to make our life very difficult. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not in need of any human being. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to appreciate the blessings. Even at the time of hardship, still the mercy of Allah is there, still the ease is there, a feeling which will make you, even during the hardship, very close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, feeling the love to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, appreciating the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Alhamdulillah. The next rule related to the belief in Allah's decree is that trials expiate sins. This is in Surah number 11, verse number 114. Again and again, sisters, as believers in the reality that we must live this worldly life as a farm for the hereafter. And we are looking, Alhamdulillah, for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make the paradise our final destination. So, as a true believers, we are all the time looking for any thing to expiate our sins. If the trials will expiate our sins, all praise to Allah. I am accepting them and I am trying to look for the ease during them so that inshallah during these trials, out of these trials, Allah will expiate my sins and will make paradise my final destination. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows the same, that during my severe pain in my knee, I was telling to myself, Mona, this worldly life is less than the wing of the mosquito in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, out of this pain, wants to expiate your sins. All praise to Allah. It is all for your sake, Mona. Be thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and be, Alhamdulillah, happy that this pain in the worldly life will prevent the pain of the hereafter because it expiates the sins. The next Quranic rule regarding to believe in Allah's decree to prevent sadness and anxiety and depression is the declaration of the believer regarding Allah's decree, which is mentioned in Surah number 9, verse number 51. This declaration is, say, بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قل لن يصيبنا إلا ما كتب الله لنا هو مولانا وعلى الله فليتوكل المؤمنون. Say, nothing shall ever happen to us except what Allah has ordained for us. He is our Lord, and in Allah let the believers put their trust. This is a command from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and to every believer to have this. This is my declaration salvation as a believer in Allah's decree. When you tell me, Sister Mona, oh, what happens? How you have this problem in your leg? Did you bend your leg? Did you hold any heavy thing? What happens? How this happened? I will tell you, Sister, I believe that nothing shall ever happen to me except what Allah has ordained for me. This is what Allah has ordained for me. How, why, when, what? Nobody knows and nobody is supposed to know, because this is the decree of Allah. I am supposed to have this problem in my knee. This is the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But I have Allah as my Lord. And I put all my trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that inshallah this hardship will expiate my sins. Ease is there, it is not beyond my scope, and out of it inshallah I will have a lot of reward, the reward of the patient. So this must be the declaration of the believer in Allah's decree, which will always protect your spirit from any feeling of despair, sadness, anxiety or depression, because your spirit is all the time living in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, support of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, reassurance with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Alhamdulillah. Okay. The next Quranic rule, which is related to the prevention of depression, anxiety and sadness, the next is the understanding of the reality of the worldly life. I am again and again, sisters, repeating in every class of depression these rules, because we need to remember these rules all the time, and we need to have it clear in our spirit in every second, because we are living, alhamdulillah, nowadays a life which looks to be not easy and full of corruption and full of difficulties and full of confusion, because we are far away from the belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and far away from what I am mentioning in this class. So again and again I am repeating, so that alhamdulillah we become more clear about our belief, we become more strong about the facts of the Quran, and alhamdulillah it will support us all the time. So understanding the reality of the worldly life will help the believer to protect his or and her spirit from any feeling of anxiety. So what is the reality of the worldly life from the Quranic rules? Number one, life is a test, where hardships and trials are part of it. Surah number 29, verse number 1, 2, 3. When the believer or any human being will realize that life is not fun, life is a test, where hardships and trials are part of it, so I will be ready to any hardship. It will not be a shock for me, or something unexpected, or something which I will lose conscious when I am exposed to. Never. Why to lose conscious for something which Allah mentioned to me that it is the nature of the worldly life? Hardships and trials are the nature of the worldly life. So, oh Allah, I know that I will be exposed to them, and when I am exposed to them, alhamdulillah, I have my true belief in your oneness, I have my belief in your decree, and alhamdulillah, I understand the reality of the worldly life, which is number two, life is a deceiving enjoyment. Surah number 57, verse number 20, as we clarified before, sisters, that in the worldly life, you will never have the feeling of complete happiness. Never complete happiness. This is the reality of the worldly life, because it's the happiness and enjoyment is having the deceiving nature. It is not real. So when you feel that I am so happy that, for example, I was looking to have a baby boy when I will deliver, alhamdulillah, then I deliver and I have the baby boy, but the baby start to cry day and night, and he is not getting the breast milk, and he is giving me very hard time. Rahim. So when I, when alhamdulillah, for example, I'm looking for the baby boy, but after having the baby boy, I realize that the baby boy, alhamdulillah, make my life upside down. And I start to question myself, why I was so happy to have the baby boy? Okay, what I get personally from the baby boy? I didn't get anything from the baby boy except, what do you think, Cecilia, about the baby boy? They give you the real happiness?
It's just in your mind.
You see, this is the receiving enjoyment. Alhamdulillah. So sister, actually in reality, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. So actually sister, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, again, let me continue about the rules of understanding the reality of the word in Quran. We must believe that life is just a farm for the hereafter. In Surah number 23, verse number 101 to 104, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala clarified to us that the true believer must live this life as a farm for the hereafter, trying to collect as many as he or she can of the good deeds. How to have the good deeds? Through fulfilling your trust to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to your husband, to your children, to your community, to the humanity. Okay, having good manners with everyone and trying to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, trying to live your life as an act of worship, this will make your life a farm for the hereafter, and you will be all the time doing good deeds. When you will be doing good deeds all the time, this means that your heart is in a good shape. You never have any bad feelings in your heart. You don't have any problem with anyone. You are not looking for anything from anyone, because alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is sufficient for you. You know your goal in this life, my goal in this life is to fulfill my trust. So I will be the one to give. I am the one to take care. I am taking care of my relation with Allah, and I am taking care of my husband, and act marriage and act of worship, taking care of my kids for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, trying to have good relation with the Muslim sisters, alhamdulillah, for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, trying to be a good Muslim, a good example for non-Muslims, for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for the sake of Islam, for the sake of the Quran. We must prove to every non-Muslim that Islam is the religion of the good manners. When I will be living my life with this goal, I will be always having my heart in alhamdulillah, in the feeling that I am on the right track. When your heart will be always feeling that you are living your life in the right way and your link with Allah is correct, you will be always having very good feelings, in spite of the fact you are the one always taking care, you are the one always giving, but alhamdulillah, you are not looking for anything from any human being. You are not in need of anyone. This is a very important factor for the balance of the spirit. Okay, I am not sad today because my husband didn't tell me I love you 3 times every day. Alhamdulillah. If my husband forgets that word, okay, completely 10 years ago, no problem. Alhamdulillah. Why? Because I am looking for the reward from Allah, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving me the reward. Regarding my husband, alhamdulillah, I find for him the excuse. He is very busy and he is under stress and he is working day and night. So alhamdulillah, my relation with him is very good in spite of the fact of what I mentioned. My kids are the same, alhamdulillah. They are taking care of themselves. They want to have the best clothes and to, alhamdulillah, to live the best life, alhamdulillah. But when I am limping and I ask my daughter to clean the kitchen instead of me, she will be very upset. Okay, but I will never be upset with her because I was taking care of her, raising her, and alhamdulillah, trying my best to make her a very good human being for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I was not looking for anything from anyone, alhamdulillah. This feeling will help me to keep on doing the good deeds, to keep on having the good manners, because alhamdulillah, Allah is rewarding me the minute I am doing the good deed. The minute Allah will send for me the message, you are rewarded from me, keep on, and don't look for anything from anyone. Alhamdulillah, my heart will be connected with Allah all the time, and the mercy of Allah will be showering my heart all the time. So I am never upset with any reaction of any human being, because it is out of my equation to have anything from any human being. This is the meaning of living the worldly life as a farm for the hereafter. My main concern from my husband, from my kids, from any human being is that I want to get good deeds from them through my good manners and my good relation, and fulfilling my trust to them, I will get the good deeds. Then, inshallah, I am fulfilling the goal of my life. The next rule regarding understanding the reality of the worldly life is that worldly life is so short to be wasted in anxiety and sadness. This is mentioned in Surah number 23, verse number 112, 113, and 114. Again and again, sisters, you must believe that nobody of us knows the time of this. So, if I am not sure how long is the length of my life, why I will spend 1 second, my second, okay, in a feeling of sadness, upset, despair, or anxiety? Why? Okay, if the life is too short, let me quickly try to utilize the time to get the good deeds. How can I do good deeds if I am not in a good mood? I must be in a good mood and I must be having a balanced, healthy spirit so that I can do good deed. Okay, so I need to be away from anxiety and sadness by all the means so that I can utilize the time of this short life, inshallah, to be my way to the paradise. Next is that life is run by the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. None of mankind can interfere. This is mentioned in Surah number 33. Verse number 36. When I believe that I can't interfere with the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I will accept my life as it is. I will not be upset for anything which I can't change. So the Muslim strategy according to the above rules of the reality of the worldly life are: number one, to focus on what matters today, because tomorrow may not come and yesterday vanished. It already vanished. Okay. Number two, to appreciate the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Always try to look for those whom they are below you in the health, in the wealth, in the prestige, in the position. And when you will realize that there are a lot of people whom actually they are in bed for years and years, and there are a lot of people whom they are very poor, and actually there are a lot of orphans and many people whom they have great actually problems in their life, chronic ones, you will appreciate the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and you will be always away from anxiety and depression. Number three, to make the hereafter your main concern, that is to say to collect good deeds, to have the good mood to collect the good deeds. I am sending the message to my spirit, I can't be upset and I can't be sad as I can. This doesn't mean that I am never sad or upset, no, but this is the ways to protect yourself from the continuous feeling of sadness or depression, especially at the time of hardships and trials. Number four is to keep yourself busy with work that you like. This is very important during the time of disasters. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is testing every one of us with hardship, try not to concentrate on the problem and to keep on thinking of it day and night and to realize that there is no solution and what can I do and I hate my life and I am desperate and I am sad and I am depressed. This is totally wrong. This is against the belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I must tell to myself that this worldly life doesn't cost anything in the sight of Allah and it may finish after 1 second. So I will never concentrate on the hardship. With every hardship there is ease and Allah is the most merciful. Now I must take my mind and my heart and be busy with something which I like, which can give me relaxation inshallah and can make me to feel the mercy of Allah until inshallah Allah will solve all the problems. But try to have the relaxation in something halal, not in something haram. Okay?
Yeah, that is the
this is the question.
Yeah.
Okay.
Most important.
Yes, not to go and to try to drink day and night because you want to do something which you like. No, alhamdulillah, you can try, you know, if you want to be busy during the time of hardship, be busy with doing something to help others. You know, because if you know a place where there are orphans, go and take care of them. If you know a place where are needy people, go and help them, you know. When you will help others, alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make you to appreciate your life. There are other people whom they have more difficult life than my life, so alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah, oh Allah, now I am more content with my reality, because Alhamdulillah, I am better than other people, and I will keep on doing the help to those people, because when I am helping them, I am, Alhamdulillah, appreciating the blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The next line of prevention of Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, anxiety and depression is the remembrance of Allah, which we mentioned last week. Actually, I am giving full details about the class of depression, because I was having many emails, you know, from sisters. They are asking me to keep on repeating about these important facts regarding to how to prevent yourself from depression, anxiety, sadness, and despair, because most of the people are living this feelings nowadays, you know, the despair and sadness. So the next line of prevention is the remembrance of Allah. And actually, we learned last week that Allah said in Surah number 13, verse number 28, verily in the remembrance of Allah do hearts find rest. We learned about al-dhikr, which is Subhanallah, walhamdulillah, wa la ilaha illallah, wallahu akbar. We learned that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he advised the Muslims to keep on having their tongue wet with these words. What is the meaning of this? Is that while I am driving my car, I am remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For the sake of Allah, no, Allah is not in need of your remembrance. For the sake of yourself, because in the remembrance of Allah, do hearts find rest. By time, when you keep on saying, alhamdulillah, 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 subhanallah, subhanallah, la ilaha illallah, gradually you will feel after 10 minutes or 15 minutes that your spirit, alhamdulillah, is in the feeling of tranquility. This is the promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So number one of the remembrance of Allah is al-dhikr. Number two is al-du'a. And last week, alhamdulillah, we mentioned many du'as which will help to relieve anxiety. And actually the recommended of them is the du'a which we learned last week. Oh Allah, I am your slave, son of your slave, son of your female slave. My full look is in your hand. Your command over me is forever executed, and your decree over me is just. I ask you by every name belonging to you, which you named yourself with, or revealed in your book, or taught to any of your creation, or you have preserved in the knowledge of the unseen with you, that you make the Quran the life of my spirit, the light of my chest, the departure of my sorrow, and a release of my anxiety. But Allah will take away his sorrow and give him in their stead joy. So you can replace your sorrow and your grief by joy and happiness when you keep on calling on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with this dua, inshaAllah. Today, inshaAllah, we will continue to learn about other forms of the remembrance of Allah, which are mainly as-salah and recitation of the Qur'an. Again and again, sisters, as-salah and recitation of the Qur'an are the links with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It was mentioned that if you want to talk to Allah, perform a prayer. And if you want Allah to take to you, recite the Quran. So now we will learn in short, because actually I discussed in the previous classes in details about the effect of al-salah and recitation of the Quran, but just now in summary, because these are forms of the remembrance of Allah which can help us to protect our spirits from anxiety and depression. Regarding al-salah in Arabic means the link with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As-salah contains dua, recitation of the Quran, and words of al-zikr. As-salah, accordingly, as-salah is the great source of the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As-salah, or prayer, is the time to separate from all the worry, headache, pain, and sadness of the worldly life. It is the period of separation from the mental worry and psychological pressure. During this separation, you will link with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. subhanahu wa ta'ala. And immediately when you will do dua to Allah and remember Allah, you will get rid of all your worry through complaining to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala about your problem, asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make your hopes real. And immediately, inshallah, when you are sincere in the prayer, sister, this is the sign of the sincerity of the prayer, is that after prayer, you will feel that your spirit is in a totally different feeling. Before prayer, you were upset and you feel lonely and you feel desperate and you were feeling anxiety. But subhanallah, if you can be sincere in your prayer and you feel the link with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala immediately after prayer, you will feel that something different happens to your spirit. Alhamdulillah, now I feel support, I feel reassurance, I feel I am not alone, I have the hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I feel that this prayer was, alhamdulillah, a great blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is a salah, the link with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which Allah commanded us out of His mercy to perform it 5 times in every day and night, so that the link with the Most Merciful will be continuous, as it is the way to get rid of all the worry, fear and sadness. Also, replacing this feeling with trust and hope. These good feelings are essential for the protection of the spirit against despair and depression. The second form of the remembrance of Allah, which is extremely important, is the recitation of the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned about the effect of the Quran as a source of healing and cure. If your spirit is cured and healed, alhamdulillah, you will never have anxiety, depression or sadness, because alhamdulillah, your spirit is a healthy spirit, alhamdulillah, and you have the source of healing and cure all the time very close to you. The rule related to the Quran is that we must realize that heart anxiety is the result of doubts and uncertainty about everything in life. I am not certain that tomorrow I will be healthy. I am not certain that my kids tomorrow will be in a good shape. I am not certain tomorrow that my husband will be still in work. I am not certain about everything. Okay, this is the doubt and the uncertainty which is the source of anxiety. The secret of the Quran is that the Quran is the words of the Most Merciful that can reach the spirit. When the Quran words will reach your spirit with sincerity and touch it, immediately your spirit will be connected with the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Subhanallah, this is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is subhanallah how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is proving to us the importance of the belief and the importance, alhamdulillah, of being, alhamdulillah, true believer in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The true believer in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is having the link with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and is having the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This feeling, sister, none can explain it, because it is something inside the spirit. But you feel it when you are, alhamdulillah, in the correct link with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you recite the Quran, you feel that Allah is talking to you. Allah is giving you the messages which you cannot live your life except with these messages. But all praise to Allah, I feel the message, I understand it, I like to live it in my life. Alhamdulillah, it touches my heart. This is the most important related to the Quran. Again and again, sister, the Quran is not the book of the music. During Tajweed, we just recite words which we don't understand its meaning, and then we close the Quran and we say, oh, I am more better. This is not the message of the Quran. The message of the Quran, it is the book which we are supposed to live our life according to its rules. It will cure me and it will heal my spirit, and it will prevent depression and anxiety when it touches my heart. Its rules touches my heart. So I realize the truth. So I feel that all praise to Allah, this is the truth. Now I am balanced because I know the truth. Then I will live my life according to these rules. So alhamdulillah, this is the cure and the healing of the Quran. We must realize this fact and we must teach this fact so that we will not be like the confused Muslims whom they don't understand the meaning of the words of the Quran, they don't know the rules of the Quran, and they just keep on reading the Quran, recitation of the Quran with the music, and in reality they don't get any of the real mercy of the Quran. This is the message of the Quran which every Muslim has to clarify. Otherwise the Quran will end like the classical music, which we just listen to it without understanding anything. Then we say to ourselves, oh, I am more better now. This is total confusion, total deceiving, and also it is against the Quran. The Quran will question every Muslim who turns the Quran to a book of music just to listen to its words during the Tajweed. The Quran is the way of life. The Quran is the book of the rules. The Quran, alhamdulillah, is the message for every Muslim from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to live the righteous life and to have the paradise as the final destination. Actually, the Quran is the protection against depression, because Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, during recitation of the Quran, you will, alhamdulillah, have time to reflect on the names of the Lord of the heavens and the earth, attributes of the Lord of the heavens and the earth, and the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you will have the time to reflect on these laws and on the names and attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, inshallah you will have the faith and the certainty, which the Quran is its source. Then this will remove any doubt and will prevent you from having any anxiety. In reality, sisters, try always to do dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make you to have the right link with the Quran, so that when you start recitation of the Quran, you feel that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking to you. You feel that now I am so close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now I start to feel a lot of mercy in my spirit. Now I am more relaxed. Now I am less anxious. Now I am more balanced. Now, oh Allah, I feel Bismillah Rahman Rahim, help, your support, you are taking care of me, I am not alone. This is the message of the Quran. This is how the Quran is the cure and healing. When I understand the message which Allah is sending to me, accordingly, every Muslim must read the Quran with the language which he or she can understand the meaning, because it is the message from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And never to make the Quran just to read it without understanding, because this is wrong for you and wrong for the Quran. Read the Quran in your language, and if you want to learn the Arabic, learn the Arabic. But the verse of the Quran, you read it in Arabic and you don't understand it, immediately read the same verse in your language, understand it, so that you get the message of the Quran. This is the goal of the Quran, and then inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows your intention, that you are doing double the effect which we Arabic speaking are doing, because when we read the Quran, inshallah, we feel the meanings. Okay, for non-Arabic speaking, they have double the effort, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward you double and more and more. Allah only knows about His reward. You will be rewarded more and more than us. So if you are looking for the reward, if you are looking to get the message of the Quran, alhamdulillah, try always to live the Quran as a way of life in your life, and don't follow anyone who is sending the message that I can listen to the Quran while understanding it and it is enough. This is totally wrong, and Allah will question that person on the day of judgment for those whom they follow His point of view. Okay? The next proof from the Quran regarding the importance of the remembrance of Allah and that anxiety and depression as a result of hardship are the punishment for those whom they forget or ignore the remembrance of Allah. The meaning is that, now we will read from Surah Taha, from verse number 123-124. In this verse of the Quran, Allah will teach us about the punishment for those whom they forget about remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, those whom they don't recite the Quran, or they don't pray, or they don't say dhikr. You know, they are far away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Actually, they are the one exposing themselves to anxiety and depression. because they are the ones to they choose to be away from the remembrance of Allah, immediately they will have, you know, the punishment for this. Now we will read from Surah number 20, verse number 123 to 125. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قبطا منها جميعا بعضكم لبعض عدو فإما يأتينكم مني هدى فمن اتبع هدايا فلا يضل ولا يشقى ومن أعرض عن ذكري فإن له معيشة ضنكا ونحشره يوم القيامة أعمى قال ربي لما حشرتني أعمى وقد كنت بصيرا قال كذلك آتتك آياتنا فنسيتها وكذلك اليوم تنسى.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Then if there comes to you guidance from me, then whoever follows my guidance, he shall neither go astray nor shall be distressed. But whosoever turns away from my reminder, neither believes in this Quran nor acts in its teachings, verily for him is a life of hardship, and we shall raise him up blind on the day of resurrection. He will say, O my Lord, why have you raised me up blind while I had sight before? Allah will say, like this are proofs, are ayats, proofs, evidence, verses, lessons, signs, revelations, etc. came unto you, but you disregarded them. You left them, did not think deeply in them, and you turned away from them. And so this day you will be neglected.
Actually, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in these verses is teaching us that those who follow divine guidance, they are immune from going astray and suffering misery, sadness and depression, misery. In reality, they are the ones who perform prayers, live the rules of the Quran in practice, remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if you follow the divine guidance, you will be immune from any depression or going astray. Alhamdulillah. This is the remembrance, the effect of remembrance of Allah on the spirit. Okay? But when the human life severs, lost the link with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, those whom they are not praying, not reading the Quran, in reality, that person is depriving himself from the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He will feel stress on being isolated from Allah and His mercy. This stress will be demonstrated in worry, anxiety, doubt, and confusion. Always worried about what he owns and fearing unexpected loss. Life and always lacking the reassurance. Without that reassurance, life is nothing but a continuous sadness, and actually it is far harder than for those whom they suffer poverty and deprivation. What is the meaning of this, sister? The meaning is that there are many people whom they are poor, but because of their remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, their spirits, alhamdulillah, is reassured that Allah will take care of them and they will never be in need of anyone. Accordingly, they never have the feeling of worry or anxiety, in spite of the fact they are poor. And you can notice this in many times. You can meet people whom they look that, alhamdulillah, you know, they just have exactly what they can live with, but still, alhamdulillah, their faces have light in their faces, and they look very balanced. And when you ask them about their life, they will tell you, alhamdulillah, everything is all right. Alhamdulillah, we are worshipping Allah in the best shape. And you feel that they are content with their life in spite of the fact they look that they have poverty or deprivation. This is the benefit, and this is the blessings of the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The reassurance and the link and the mercy with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But those whom they forget about the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in spite of the fact they may be rich and having everything, but still they will have the stress. Okay? Why they have stress? Because they are isolated from the source of mercy, the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That stress will be the equal to worry and anxiety. And actually, you always noted that when you talk with this kind of people, okay, and you ask them, how are you today? She or he will tell you, I am so worried. I am so worried about my bank account. Maybe something will happen, then I will lose big amount of money. And I am so worried. I am supposed to stay here or to leave and to start in another place because I feel that maybe better, there will be better. And I am so upset and I am so afraid and I fear. You see, this is the language of those whom they don't leave the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They are the true losers. Because if they believe that none can change the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they must have the full reassurance that whatever Allah decreed, it will happen. So why am I supposed to be afraid or to have fear or to have doubt or to have confusion? I am supposed to be always remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala so that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through that link, alhamdulillah, will give me the feeling of reassurance and alhamdulillah, I will be all the time protecting my spirit from anxiety and sadness and depression. Those people whom they are always worried and upset, number one, they will not be able to change the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Number two, they will pay high price for this anxiety, okay, because mostly they will be on antidepressant drugs, which is proving every day now that its side effects is more and more than its benefits. Okay, why they are in this situation while they have everything? Because they forget the most important element of reassurance, tranquility, and peace in life, which is the belief in Allah, the belief in His decree, and the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now we will learn about another punishment for those whom they forget about the remembrance of Allah in relation to anxiety and sadness. We will read from surah number 43, verse number 36 and 37. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ومن يعش عن ذكر الرحمن نقي له شيطانا فهو له قرين وإنهم ليصدونهم عن السبيل ويحسبون أنهم مهتدون.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. And whosoever turns away blindly from the remembrance of the Most Gracious Allah, we appoint for him Shaitan to be a Qarin, a companion to him. And verily the Shaitan hinder them from the path of Allah, but they think that they are guided aright.
Okay, thank you. The meaning of this verse, sister, is that it has Allah's will that when man chooses to neglect the remembrance of Allah, Shaitan finds his way to him and becomes his companion, whispering to him and making sins and evil things seem attractive to him. Then the Shaitan will guide that person away from the right path and not allowing him to reflect on what he is doing. It is the sins that the shaitan deceive mankind to do, so that they turn away from the remembrance of Allah more and more. So the rule from these verses of the Quran is that remembrance of Allah is the protection against shaitan and sins, protection against the feeling of guilt and upset, which is always accompanying making sins and disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That guilt and upset feeling can lead to sadness and depression. Again and again, it is the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that whoever makes a sin, he will feel guilty, even he admit or not, but there is a feeling of guilt, okay, inside the spirit. This is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, is making those people, you know, to feel upset, okay. If they repent to Allah, alhamdulillah, they will be out of this feeling. But if the shaitan will be their companion and thins, okay, they will be having the depression. Okay, this is the depression out of the sins and disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the next Islamic line of prevention and treatment of depression is avoiding sins, avoiding the whispers of the shaitan. We need, inshallah, to learn in full details about the shaitan, the main enemy of mankind, and about the ways to prevent its effect on our spirit, that is to say, to prevent anxiety and sadness. And actually, we must know that when you commit any sin, okay, your body will secrete certain hormones that causes the feeling of worry and anxiety. Inshallah, next week we will start to know in details about how shaitan controls the man's heart and causes the feeling of fear and upset and anxiety, and alhamdulillah, the ways of the Quran to protect the spirit from that feeling. Inshallah, we will continue next week, and let us make the dua. Okay. Lord, inspire us with good conduct and save us from our evil. Amen. O Allah, our Lord, cause your love to exceed all loves in us, and cause your fear to be the greatest of all fears in us. Amen. O Allah, controller of the hearts, keep our heart firm in your religion and keep it contented with your worship. Amen. O Allah, our Lord, guide us with those whom you have guided. Amen. O Allah, our Lord, strengthen us with those whom you have given strength. Amen. O Allah, our Lord, take us to your care with those whom you have taken to your care. Amen. O Allah, our Lord, we seek your forgiveness. O Allah, our Lord, we seek your forgiveness. O Allah, our Lord, we seek your forgiveness. O Allah, our Lord, we ask you for success on the day of judgment and a life of happiness. O Allah, our Lord, we seek refuge in you from a decline in your favor and from a change in your protection, from your sudden punishment and all your displeasure. Ya Allah, make the best of our deeds our last deeds. Ya Allah, make the best of our life our last moments. Ya Allah, make the best day of our life the day we meet you. O Allah, our Lord, we ask your protection from the torment of the hell, from the torment of the grave, from trials in lifetime and after this. O Allah, our Lord, truly we have wronged ourselves and none can forgive sins except you. O Allah, our Lord, we ask you to make our husbands and our offspring comfort to our eyes. O Allah, our Lord, it is your mercy that we hope for, so don't leave us in charge of our affairs and rectify for us all our affairs. None has the right to be worshipped except you. O Allah, our Lord, we ask you to increase your blessings and favors upon our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his family and his companions and those who follow them sincerely until the resurrection day. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun wa salamun alal mursalin walhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.